Welcome to Live From Lockdown. You got Zach and Dom keeping you company in self-isolation, coming to you 18 minutes later than planned.
Okay. Well, this is ridiculous.
We roll out the playbook of a classic Dom Fay move in organization.
Let's review
the tapes.
Sure. Well, no, I just want to put out there at the beginning, yes, we had planned to record at 10 a.m. today, and that was my suggestion. I'll put my hand up and say that. I messaged you with plenty of notice. I think it was 9:52 and said it might be 9:55 and said it might be more like 10:15, which I feel like you have done a number of times when we've been recording this podcast too. That's not a crime. 15 minutes.
Let's, like a true crime podcast, go over the details.
Sure.
Now, you rightly point out, I have pushed the time back before.
Mm.
I have done it with at least 40 minutes notice, and I will often overestimate how late I will be. And on numerous occasions, I've actually made the start time despite saying I might be a little bit late.
Sure.
So 9:55. Would it be reasonable to assume that with the podcasting setup, that one may have had the equipment ready to go and was already sitting and waiting?
Yeah.
The time comes at 9:55, the message comes through, might be 20 minutes later than I'm currently. How did you miscalculate 20 minutes?
Okay.
You're not going anywhere. You're not out and about.
Yeah, well, you don't have to, for the exact same reason, you can wait 20 minutes. You got nowhere to be. Do you?
I do have somewhere to be. You don't know.
Okay.
That highlights the attitude. You should wait, not me. Now, here comes the Dom Fay estimation. Mm. I'll be closer to 10:15.
Yeah.
Now, it certainly was closer to 10:15 than 10 o'clock, but the way you phrase it makes it sound like it will be somewhere between 10 a.m. and 10:15, but that's not what you mean. You mean it will be after 10:15.
Okay.
But it will be somewhat close to 10:15.
It 5 minutes is the margin of error. It was within the margin of error for 10:15. That's accurate.
This has been a long discussion point over our run together. I remember one discussion. You said you thought that plans, when you say a time to meet, that there was an ish on the end of it.
Oh, completely.
And that allowed you 20 minutes either way. Well, not either way, 20 minutes after. It was never 20 minutes early.
I wouldn't stand by 20 minutes, but I do think if you agree to catch up with a friend for coffee at 10, for example, you have at least 5, probably 10 minutes leeway. It's 10-ish. If you get there at 10:08, no one thinks
you're late. My point is that you calculate and bank on that. If someone comes at 10 past sure. the time and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I couldn't find a park or whatever. But in your mind, you go to 10 past 10 is the time you're meeting.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's totally fine. And then but you never communicate that to the other party. So they're just sitting there, ready, waiting, looking at the watch, ordering a coffee. The amount of times I've waited at cafes near your house, where I'm like, we picked this because it was close to your house. It'd be like 20 minutes.
Here's my strategy. My strategy is that I calculate the very last minute that I can leave and still somehow make it work. And that pays off sometimes, but also at other times what it does when, you know, you're thrown out by actually 10 minutes, your last minute possible to leave is now 10 minutes late. So that's really what I've done. Now, this morning, if you want to know why it was a 10:18 start this morning, Zach, my alarm did go off at about 9:35. I was a bit bleary-eyed. Woke up. You know, I'll be honest. I still haven't really snapped out of the late night hours. You seem to be doing a lot better than
me. I was saying, I thought you were... You told me, you know, in January that you were back to normal hours.
I had been. I certainly had been. I will say it has been drooping later and later, though. And I did feel like it was about 9:54 and I sat down at the computer. I was ready to record. I was ready to go. I had a couple of stories to share with you. I've corresponded with all the Watsy Whistling people. I'm all good to go. But I just felt a bit bleary-eyed and I thought, well, I'm not going to bring my best in this headspace. You know, and I don't want to waste people's time here. So give me 15 minutes. I'm going to jump in the shower.
Except mine.
Sure. But I just thought, give me 15 minutes. I'll jump in the shower. And then after a shower, I'll be woken up and I'll be raring to go.
I feel like this is the lesson to take away from my point of view. When we talk about social etiquette, give people enough time that they can do something else. Because the thing I find frustrating when people, for example, in the cafe, if you're going to be late, I could also go and do something else. But if I'm not told, I sit there and twiddle my thumbs for 20 minutes.
Sure.
In this situation, I feel the same way. It's like, well, I'm already sitting down in front of the equipment. Now I have to figure out what to do for the next 15 minutes, but I'm ready to go. So, you know, should I get up and should I make a coffee? I don't know if it's going to be 15 minutes. I might push it back even more. But if I was told at 9:30, which I now understand was impossible because you weren't awake... Maybe, you know, maybe we could have made some other plans.
Yeah, okay, fair call. And I will just throw out there, firstly, I do apologize for that, Zach. I did sense that this might have come up when I noticed that my message saying it might be more like 10:15-ish had just been left read. There was no, all good.
I thought, how close to the 10:15 are we going to get once we went past 10:15? I thought, I know what he's playing at here. Hey, I know this tactic.
10:18 is pretty good, though. 10:18 is pretty good. And the good news is that I'm feeling awake. I'm good to go.
Do you know what I learned, though?
Yeah.
When I worked as a physical receptionist, I didn't have to answer phones. Just had to open the door to people who came to the building, which was no one.
Yeah.
There was a few lessons I learned in that... in that job.
Sure.
And one from my boss is, I was similarly 5 past, you know, I started at 8:30 and I was 8:35 a lot. And she said, you got to bank for things to go wrong. Cause I was always like, well, there's traffic. Well, you know, my shirt wasn't ironed. You know, I was 18. And she was like, you got to bank on these things going wrong. See, what you're saying is you try to have it razor thin, but the chances of something going wrong are quite high, aren't they?
Yeah, it's true. And I would be 5 to 10 minutes late on average to almost everything I go to. Do you know what? For the next 2 weeks, what is it today? The 25th of May. Mark my words. For the next 2 weeks, I'm going to give myself 10 extra minutes than I normally would, like earlier for a plan, and I'm going to see how it changes my life. I'm going to leave 10 minutes earlier than I had initially planned to for everything. Yep. Get ready 10 minutes earlier and see what quality of life I'm able to achieve.
This is like one of those YouTube videos where people say, you know, I went vegetarian for a month and this is what changed. Or I went, you know, I did this crazy workout for a month and this is what I learned. It's like that, except for a tiny, tiny change.
Yeah, but maybe that has more interest in a sense. Do you know what I mean? Because it's suggesting, could a tiny change actually make a massive change? We'll find out. We'll find out. I'll keep you posted.
Today on the podcast, Dom, we do have your brand ambassadorship with GastroStop coming up a little later on. That's, I believe, almost a sponsored post. Are we getting any cash for that?
We're not getting any. Okay. GastroStop has helped me out a lot, and I do advocate if you've got a loose stool, go for some GastroStop. But that's just personal anecdote. I don't think at this current stage that GastroStop have much of an advertising budget. I've never seen a GastroStop ad. I've never seen a face of GastroStop. I know you suggested a while ago I should get in touch with their marketing team. But no, I do have a GastroStop story, in particular an embarrassing time to be heard ordering GastroStop at the pharmacy or looking for GastroStop at the pharmacy. I'll fill you in on that shortly, though.
First up, Dom, I wanted to talk about social distancing policing or vigilantes, people who are hyper-vigilant on social distancing. And I knew that you'd have an interesting perspective on this because you have dobbed a number of times. And I am interested to know whether or not that number has increased in recent weeks. Because last time we spoke about it, I think you had made 2 calls about people who were skirting social distancing laws or regulations.
There were three all up. So there might have been an extra.
So you made another one?
I haven't made another one
since
then.
The last I heard was the toddler's birthday party.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Well, I don't know.
Was there a funeral with 11 people that you wanted to dob
in? Shut up. No. I walked past my local park and there was like 60 people gathered around one of the gazebos. And this is like not at the moment.
A lot.
Yeah. This would be going back. This is in the prime of everything going on. And so I did just call Police Link and say, hey, where do we sit on this one? And
do you want me to go in? I can go in undercover if you want. I'll eat a few of the sausages and then scope out whether this was planned or impromptu.
They did say they'd send someone to have a look, and they weren't there 20 minutes later. So apart from that, it was 2 instances. I think both instances were with cyclists in near the city. Groups of cyclists.
Well, why I'm asking is because I feel like people are still hypervigilant. I was on a walk yesterday with the dogs. And the dogs coughed, and the guy in front of me, he was probably 5 meters in front of me, spun around so quickly with a death stare, obviously not knowing where the cough had come from.
Sure.
And I was like, relax, it's a dog. I can't put a mask on a dog. Jeez. Yeah.
Although there were those reports early on about some animals maybe contracting coronavirus. Remember that?
Yeah, I've heard mixed things about that.
I think they...
Some early on, I guess because it changes. I know early on it was like they can't get it. And then I saw that they could get it. And I feel like I have also seen maybe that they can't get it again. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But anytime you do... And I do have a sneeze coming, which is awfully timed. But I'll see if I can suppress that. But anytime you do...
Well, we're all safe here. you understand that the droplets can't be transmitted through podcasting.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying by sound, it would be unfortunate. Although I do believe sneezing is not a symptom of COVID-19. I read that recently.
Oh, there you go.
But no, anytime you have a cough coming in public, I feel so bad about this now. If I'm walking like, you know, near the shops and I have a cough coming, I will walk as far away from people as possible before the cough will be unleashed. Because otherwise, I feel uncomfortable. If I'm in the supermarket and I hear someone cough near me, I'll give them a death glare. Like, I don't, it's not like an intentional, I'm death glaring for fun, but it's like this guttural part of you, which is like, what are you doing? Do you not know that the climate we're in? This isn't a cough-free climate. This isn't cough wherever you want. Your cough freedom's gone.
Yeah. And that's just the reality. That's the new normal, isn't it? No more cough freedoms.
Well, I'm just saying.
I could once cough freely. Yes. I enjoyed a good cough on the train in the morning. A cough on as many people as they could. And those days are in the past.
No, but 6 months ago, if you're in the aisle of Coles or Woolies and you hear someone down the other end of that aisle cough, you probably don't give it a second thought. But now, anyone in that aisle, eyes turn instantly because you think, oh, was that a dry cough or a wet cough? What was the moisture level of that cough? If that was a dry cough, I'm in trouble.
I'll tell you an interesting one. Producer Jack Jr., have you seen what his housemates have had to do? There's five of them, five guys. And they're obviously in the height of the social distancing. You're allowed to be with your house members, but you wouldn't have been allowed to be with five friends. And so they got dobbed on a number of times, even though they were from the same house. And so what they had to do is they made shirts that said on the front, we're all a part of the same house. And then on the back, it says housemate number one, housemate number two, housemate number three.
Yeah.
So when they're cruising around, you know, going for their afternoon walk or whatever, the guys who are looking through their shades, looking through their blinds or their windows at the young guys walking in the street, flaunting the rules. No, they're from the same household.
I did see him post that photo on Instagram. It's a pretty smart move, and also a pretty smart move to move in with your friends, you know, late last year, early this year for anyone who did it. I think he's had that sort of an arrangement going for a while, though, Jack Jr. So, but it is a smart way because most people haven't really seen their friends for, you know, 3 months in any real way. But
I wonder if anyone, because no one was really, I don't feel like anyone predicted what was at the extent of what was going to happen.
No.
Well, I guess the pandemic experts probably did. But outside of that, I wonder if there was anyone smart enough when they saw what was happening overseas in like January to call up their friends and go, let's get a rental ASAP.
Yeah.
10 of us.
Yeah,
in a huge
totally.
House.
Because you do that and then suddenly you get to lock down with those 10 people. Now, obviously, next pandemic, we'll all be prepared for that. The moment you catch wind of something that may be happening, you know, overseas or even, I don't know if a pandemic could come from Australia. I guess it could. Wherever it might be coming from, the moment you catch wind that we might be at the start of something, get in touch with your 10 favourite people and find a big rental. You're set to go.
Now, why do you think that Australia would be exempt from starting a pandemic?
Well, I don't know. I've never heard of a disease that's originated in Australia. Although I suppose there'd have to be some. I'm really not a big disease expert. It might shock you to know, Zach, but there's something to me that I would have thought the heat and the humidity that it would kill diseases easily.
Right. Well, what I would like to see in the future, you know, is more homegrown diseases.
Yeah.
I'm sick of getting these diseases from overseas. We got to look after our own backyard first.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. And I will say, speaking of that, did you see Pauline Hanson on the Today Show very recently? I think it was this morning, on Monday morning. She's advocating for Queensland state borders to be opened. And she said something along the lines of...
I did know that was her position. Why is that?
It's all about small business, which is Pauline's bread and butter. But I will say there was something really sort of dystopian about seeing Pauline Hanson arguing passionately for open borders. It did seem to me kind of almost like we've opened up in a new world.
What's going on here? Pauline, you like the borders to be closed. That's usually what most of the speeches are about.
Well, it's just interesting. It's just it's a whole new persona for her.
It is very dystopian. Have you ever seen, you know, The Island?
Yes. That movie? Yeah, Ewan McGregor.
I was at the supermarket the other day, and there was like ding ding ding, and they're like, due to new social distancing regulations, we require customers to be 1.5 meters away from each other. Thank you, and have a good day. And then when I was traveling on the highway yesterday, I went to the beach, and there was a big like sign. You know the signs on the highway, yes. The electric ones, and it says if you have flu symptoms, get a COVID-19 test. I was like, I feel like I'm in, like, a futuristic movie where half the world is sick.
What was not interesting far from it. When I was working, when I was doing the early shift at the ABC on the mornings program here in Brisbane, I went down at midnight to the border closures. This is about 2 months ago when they shut the borders, whenever that was. I went down to the Tweed, or I guess to this side of the Tweed in Queensland, to see the borders be closed, and that was dystopian. I mean, it sounds in hindsight like initially the borders were a bit easy to get in and out of in the back roads. I think that's been shut down on now. But that night, seeing them set up that police patrol and the looked a bit like an RBT in the way they direct you off and send you back into New South Wales. That was a bit of a bizarre one, to think you can't just go to Byron from Brisbane anymore. It's over.
Really stuffed up your weekend plans.
Oh, well. I feel like if you ever see someone trying to hitchhike in Brisbane, the sign is always Byron Bay. It's the place every hitchhiker's heading. And that can no longer happen.
Well, I mean, it is one of the first towns you get into going south from the Gold Coast. But
yeah, but I've told you about this, but that time that I was leaving the radio station in Brisbane, Byron Bay would be, what, 2 and a bit hours away from Brisbane, I'd guess? I was leaving the radio station, and I turned around the corner. This is like a Tuesday at 1 p.m., and someone had a sign up saying Byron Bay, and I thought, I just think that's a bit ambitious in the centre of Brisbane, that on a Tuesday, like, how many people are going to be heading in that direction to begin with? And because you need probably a large quantity to have someone to have the chance of someone who'd give you a lift. I just thought that's a little bit ambitious. Surely you start with Gold Coast from Brisbane.
Right, then you get to the Gold Coast, and from the Gold Coast you go Byron.
Yeah, it's a two-way
trip. But maybe they
trip.
Go with the Byron, though. Maybe people pull over and go, I'm going to the Gold Coast, mate. I can take you that far.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And it gives you the chance of striking gold. You know, that maybe someone says, as I think literally happened with Chris Hemsworth, when he saw in Brisbane a hitchhiker with the sign for Byron Bay, maybe he'll say, come in my helicopter, we're going right now. So,
I mean, that's a possibility. It has happened before.
It has happened. And if it's happened before, it can happen again.
Now, tell us about your gastro stop incident at the pharmacy.
Well, Zach, you know that I'm a big Brisbane Lions fan. Love the Brisbane Lions.
You love the Lions.
And I'm glad to know.
Often seen around town in the Lions corporate polo.
That's not true. I don't wear the club gear.
Your look
gear.
Of choice?
I don't wear the club gear around the place that often. There was a stage.
<That often. laughs>
I don't think I've worn... I wear the scarf to games and stuff, but I don't wear the polo when I'm going to the shops. It's not really my go-to. Maybe once upon a time.
Well, how am I meant to know you're associated with the front office?
Shut up. No, look, I do love the Brisbane Lions, and where I live just happens, and I promise you this wasn't planned when, you know, the parents were looking in this area and I nudged them this way, but it just happens to be right near where the vast bulk of them live. Their home ground is 5 minutes away. Their main training ground is like 2 minutes away. So a lot of the Brisbane Lions players live in this suburb that I'm in, or the surrounding ones.
Do you know specific houses where they live? It's follow-up question. Do you have that information from sources firsthand because of your relationship with them, or have you just heard through your stalking?
I know where a couple of them live because the local shopping center, which has like a Woolies and, you know, a few cafes, it's quite a nice place down there. I swear every time I go to that Woolworths, I see a Lions player. I would have been going probably in the past 10 times I've gone, I've seen a Lions player 8 or 9 times. The rate is ridiculously high, and it's almost always a different player as well. It just, they all clearly go shopping there, you know, being in their local area. And so I run into them. Now, I have chatted to a few of them when I'm there in the supermarket who I know a little better than some others through the Lions podcast I do. And some of them have told me where they live, you know, because I guess I do ask, oh, I didn't know you lived around here. And they'll say, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which house specifically?
Anyway.
Is it a gated system or like could someone just come to the front door whenever they wanted? Asking for a friend.
So I was in the pharmacy of this shopping center recently, late last week, and I couldn't find the gastro stop, right, which I had run out of, and I thought I needed some gastro stop because, not because I was having any, you know, bowel problems that day, but the way that my body works, you have to be prepared. You just never know.
Mm.
And so I thought I'll stock up while I'm here. I couldn't find it, so I went to the counter, and I said, I thought softly enough, hey, do you have any gastro stop in stock? She said, I'll go and have a look. And I turn around and just behind me is Brisbane Lions player Zach Bailey. Now, Zach Bailey is possibly my favourite player at the club. Big fan of Zach Bailey. And I don't know him very well. I don't know him well enough to laugh it off or to say, hey, Zach, how are you going? But I do know him well enough for him to, I think, have registered the face as someone he has seen before and go away thinking, who is that I just saw ordering gastro stop?
Did you guys have a discussion at all?
No, we just had about a 5 second, and I seriously mean 5 second awkward moment of glancing at each other where it was quite clear I was hoping he didn't know who I was and he was trying to figure out who I was. Because I've only interviewed him maybe two or three times before over like 2-3 years. So I don't think he quite put it together. Anyway, but my concern is that he's since left and on the drive home, he put together who I am and that now it might get around the club in some capacity that I'm gastro stop guy, which I know is a character that you were hoping I would take on at some stage.
Well, I just think there's a marketing opportunity, certainly.
Yeah. But
they're not going to be happy to hear that you're embarrassed at this interaction, the gastrostop people. They're going to want their ambassador to be embracing the product.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time. Didn't you have another embarrassing... Because the football players are a bit like jocks.
Yes, yeah.
And you doing the podcast is a little bit like, you know, the AV guy.
Oh, it's not like the AV guy at the school. Shut up.
What?
The AV guy at the school doesn't mix with the jocks. Do they?
Maybe if the jocks were doing, maybe they're, so you're the, what would you say you are? You're the school, the newsletter writer doing the report on the teams on the weekend.
Yeah. I always wanted to be in the AV team as a sidebar, but I was, couldn't quite figure it out. I think I shut the whole projector down at assembly once. So not skilled enough. Yeah.
Now, what happened? Remember that time you told me another time where you pulled into the car park and you felt like you had to apologize for the music you were listening to?
Oh, that's right.
You were blaring some type of music and the excuse you came up with was like, it's like, it was very far-fetched.
This was because when I'd gone into the club to do the podcast, I was parking in the staff car park and I had my windows down and I was blaring and I think singing along. I can't remember what the song was though.
Was it Piano Man? I thought it might have been Piano Man.
That's my gut feel that it was Piano Man.
Because you probably were pumping yourself up for the podcast.
Yeah, and Piano Man is my pump-up song, of course. So, yeah, I think that was a reasonable chance. I need to think back to what that was. But all I remember was seeing a couple of Lions players look at me weirdly, and as I got out of the car, I tried to, from about 10 metres away, kind of palm it off. And I think I said I had my sister's iPhone. I think that might have been my excuse. Now, I don't have a sister.
And they're like, but why did you turn it up?
Or maybe it was my mum's iPhone, something like that. But... yeah, it really, that's just me. I'm not good with coming up with an excuse under pressure. That's a real flaw I have. If I try to come up with an excuse, it's partially why the late thing we were talking about earlier has been such a concern for me. Because if I'm trying to come up with an excuse with a, 10 to 20 second turnaround, it's not going to be a good one.
Well, it seems like something that would solve the problem in the instances that have been highlighted is just telling the truth. And not looking for an excuse.
It's a fair point.
I feel like if you said, I don't think they would have judged people have different tastes in music. I think maybe they could have judged that you had the window down and you're belting it out.
Mm.
But if you had just said, boys, getting pumped up for a big podcast, who's on it today? Who wants to come in? I think they would have, you know, they would have been like, oh, that guy's a bit of a character, isn't he?
It's a good point. And you know what? How about that? In the next 2 weeks, as I'm trialing this new 10-minute area as well, I'll trial fewer excuses.
Yeah, so then next time you're at the pharmacy and there's a Lions player behind you, you can just go, yeah, that's right, gastro stop. Really bad diarrhea at the moment. Just can't put a cork in it. Tried everything.
Well, I mean, it's good to be known for something, isn't it? That's the whole thing. Any publicity is good publicity.
Now, can I ask a question about celiac disease, which is the issue that you have?
Sure.
I thought if you, you know, didn't eat gluten, that the problem stopped.
Yeah, yeah, I would have hoped so. But sadly,
that's not the case.
Well, no, and not just for me, but for the other celiacs in the family, Dad and my younger brother Hudson, we all kind of have.
The house be compromised?
No, because Hudson doesn't live here, right? So he's living offside. He lives with his wife now. They moved out earlier this year,
and he's still having the same problems.
Yeah, we are all still. There is something in the Fey male gene, which just is kind of doomed to a bad gut. We don't really know what's going on there, but it is so clear that
what a beautiful thing to hand down generation to generation. You get my chin, my thick hair, and my unstable gut.
Well, it does, and I don't even think 5 years ago my gut was that bad. This is the funny thing, by the way. When I used to have a lot more fast food and my diet was much worse, my gut was pretty resolute. Like, it seemed to handle it quite well. But now,
well, it was fit, wasn't it? It was doing the training day in, day out.
Mm.
It was in the gym.
Yeah.
Downing the what was it, the Zinger veal? No, you didn't like Zinger.
No.
You would have liked
regular original Philip Burger combo with 6 nuggets.
Yeah. Still muscle memory. It still crawls off the tongue. It's because he says it in his sleep every night.
It's been 4 years, but yeah, I still remember it. But my body was really great at handling that. But now that I don't eat that stuff, I mean, the acai bowls are part of it for some reason. I think it's a fruit overload, and that can kind of make my gut go a bit funny. But whatever it is, it feels like our guts are very easily triggered, the three of us. So
that wouldn't explain the other two, though. You know, if everyone's...
No.
You know, finding similar symptoms.
We're a medical mystery.
Now, I've come across a bakery that I quite enjoy.
Mm.
And I noticed the other day there was a large gluten-free menu.
Okay.
Now, I'm wondering, what is rare to get gluten-free from a bakery? Take me through the common items.
Yeah.
And that way, I can determine whether or not this bakery is
is
onto some gold here.
Okay, well, the most common gluten-free item would be some sort of a citrus tart. Very easy to source them, so they're everywhere. You're starting to move into and probably also a gluten-free bread, of course. You're starting to move into a rarer air when you find a gluten-free cheesecake, you know, or maybe a gluten-free, I don't know what else would be rare to find. Oh, gluten-free donuts, they're very rare. You're moving into...
I believe they do have gluten-free donuts. Well, no, don't hold me to that.
That's interesting.
But I think they might. Some of the things that are listed on their website are banana bread.
Yeah, that's great.
Cheesecake.
Yep.
Cheese and bacon rolls, cupcakes, brownies, sponge rolls, date loaf, lamingtons.
What? Gluten?
Neenish tarts and birthday cakes.
Are you serious? The sponge rolls I'm still stuck on. That's all gluten-free. Yeah. What's the name of this bakery? I'm coming over.
Well... This is what I know and you don't.
Well, you're not going to tell me.
Maybe next podcast, what we can do is run some type of quiz.
Yeah.
Where the reward is our reveal where this bakery is.
This is cruel.
And
Zach,
actually, what I'll do this afternoon is I might go out and do some further research because this website looks pretty old. I just noticed that they had, I think the actual menu that they had was quite a lot more detailed.
Interesting.
So I think I'll go take a photo of the menu this afternoon, see if it's something you're interested in, and see if you can pass the quiz.
Yeah, sure.
And as a reward, I'll reveal the location.
I'm very intrigued. I mean, it probably isn't going to help the gastro stop situation, but I need to find out where
this bakery is. Well, they're gluten-free. Isn't that fine?
Yeah, but it's more the sweets, you know, getting because you know me, portion control is never a strength of mine. If I could stick to good portion control, it'd be fine. But I won't just go there and get one of the gluten-free items. I'll get three. And I won't just save them for the next week of dipping in and out of. I will have them all at once because that's sort of how I operate. It's my trademark. And I just have to say, do you remember when you...
That's what he's known for.
Remember when you missed a... I hope you don't mind me sharing this. When you missed a show last year when you were having some... You were having a bit of a day in my shoes, maybe it's fair to say. Do you remember that?
No, I had... It was vomiting.
Yeah, right. Well,
I don't know what the hell that was. I think I got a bug off a friend who had a vomiting thing. And yeah, I think I had eight instances of vomiting over 8 hours.
Well, that's
eight and eight. A great night. the salsa out the nose was the big ticket item that we remember from
that's
that.
That's right. Well, see, did you know there are some reports that, and I don't know this for sure, but the gastrostop can also help with vomiting. So my only point is, Zach, because it stops all...
Doesn't it have to get out? I know it's different in your instance with what you're suffering, but in the time I had, I think it had to... I think it was everyone out.
Yeah.
You know, it's 3 a.m. in the morning, the lights are on at the club.
Sure.
And everyone's got to leave at 5 a.m., whatever the times are these days.
I do have another tablet for that, actually, which is like a nausea thing, which sends it out the other way. But I'm not
I don't
sure.
mind. If it has to come out, I want it to come out quickly without getting too detailed. The first three were fine. That was when I was throwing up the Mexican beans I had the night before.
Lovely.
It's the following three when there's nothing, or the following six when there's nothing in your stomach. That's when it's painful.
Yeah. See, I always feel like it's better...
That's your stomach acids and stuff, and that stuff, that's not nice.
I would seriously, hand on heart, take 500 days... of really bad diarrhea than one day of really bad vomiting in a heartbeat.
And what a fun would you rather?
Yeah, well, no, in a heartbeat, though, in an absolute heartbeat. So maybe you and I are different. I do have a bit of a fear of
vomiting. When was the last time you vomited?
2004.
Wow, 16 years.
Yeah, going strong. And there are a number of stages in the show where you hoped that maybe what we were doing would break the streak. But
break
no,
the streak.
I've stayed sturdy.
Maybe because, you know, I like peanut butter now. I hated peanut butter when I was a kid.
Mm.
Maybe you'll come around with it. Maybe you'll get some type of bug and you'll be like, hey, you know what? If it has to come out, better to come out the mouth.
No, I'm so, because I was like 10 when I last vomited. I am so scared of it now because I don't know what it's like. That anytime I get close, I'm like, no, not today, not today. My other fear is, you know, when you are sick after eating a certain food, you know how it can put you off that food for life?
Like, yeah, I did do that with my Mexican beans, which was a staple. Yeah. I loved making those. I didn't have them for probably 3 months afterwards. I'm back on them now, though. It was all good.
And it's lifelong, right? So my dad, when he was a kid at a kid's party, had pavlova and was sick after it. Dad is now 60 and can't eat pavlova. Has never been able to eat pavlova since then. And so...
Isn't he excited to try to... You know, to me, because once I was so excited once I could eat them again. And I was like, it's back on the table.
Just,
it's never been enough of a driver to be like, nah.
No, the memories
I'm
are too...
I'm not even giving it a go.
Memories are too vivid.
So is meringue out as well?
Yeah.
Is that what it is, the meringue?
Yeah, I believe so.
Meringue is an interesting texture.
Yeah.
I can't understand how that would elicit a gag reflex.
So, this is the thing, though, is I don't want to lose any of the cast of my diet at the moment. I don't want to have to lose them. You know, what if I threw up after an acai bowl? I'd be in all sorts of trouble. So, it's pretty good, I think, that I've been able to have some sort of a resilience in my... Well, resilience in my gut in terms of that side of things. I think I've paid for it the other end. That hypothetical I offered you before, that would you rather... is actually almost the life that I've chosen. So it's working out for me.
Although I've thoroughly enjoyed the last 5 minutes of would you rather vomit or have diarrhea, it is time to move on to what's he whistling.
Hey, well, no one can dispute that at least that was better than coffin chat a month ago. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, they're bad for different reasons.
Bad for different
One
reasons.
One was maybe a little bit insensitive and the other was uncomfortable to listen to.
Maybe
and
what we should
I'll
say...
I'll leave it up to the listeners to decide which is which.
Maybe we should say now, welcome back to anyone who skipped through the past 3 or 4 minutes. They heard some words and they started pressing the 15-second
Well, some people, button. You know, when you say that it's a trigger for your dad, pavlova, I think talking about it is a trigger for
I agree.
So my sincere apologies if that's... the case for you, me, don't mind so much.
Well, even me, I'm feeling a little bit queasy. So let's move along.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is time for What's He Whistling? And I've got some exciting news, which is that last time I did whistle Postman Pat, and we had, in really great news for the segment, the highest response rate in the history of What's He Whistling. So normally I'd play a sound effect here for
each
on the radio.
Day I check in on the coronavirus new cases, the mapping, the tracking, and I also track the responses to What's He Whistling.
Yeah.
And I hope for opposite results. I hope that What's He Whistling responses are through the roof, and I hope that positive coronavirus cases are plummeting.
Well, I mean, there is some correlation that the better, the more engaged people are with What's He Whistling, the lower the coronavirus numbers. So, I mean,
so true.
No causation.
I'm not
yet,
hearing that from anyone. Yeah. I haven't heard that we've done a good job from anyone, and I'm really disappointed in that.
Yeah. Well, look, I have committed to reading out the names of every successful guesser of What's He Whistling. So,
I didn't know that.
So just stick with me here as I get through what is a somewhat lengthy list of names of everyone who did pick that it was Postman Pat. We had Cameron, Ruby, Daniel, Caleb, Shannon, Michael, Ben, Morgan, Nicole, Catherine, Eliza, Ethan, Ashley, Meg, Mari, probably Mary, Marie, Tyler, Samuel, Catherine, Lucas, Chels. There we go. There's people.
Well done, everyone.
Mm. The winner, though, Zach.
And have you gone with the first guess, or is it Dom's pick?
It was near the first. It was certainly... But it was one.
It's on the top of the tree.
So Prue is the winner, and Prue's requested song was also, funnily enough, requested by Catherine, Tyler, and Meg. So the same TV theme request came in four times in one edition of What's He Whistling.
And is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing. And that's unheard of. That's unheard
Majority
of.
Majority rules.
Yeah. I still get someone, I don't know why people are, someone messaged my personal Instagram account and said you should whistle the ABC News theme, which I think we covered last week, but... I still don't... Facebook message. Collective Noun's Facebook message. That's where to send your request to.
I'd like to make a special mention, and maybe it would have been one of those people. Someone said they made a Facebook account just to get a request in.
Yes. No, I did see that one.
Can you see who that was?
Yes, I can see who that was. Let me just bring that up here. I'm pretty sure that was Ruby who created a Facebook account.
That's commitment.
It really is commitment. So, and that's the love that this segment is, you know, developing in people.
Just pouring in.
Yeah.
Now,
so,
you've been learning how to whistle in self-isolation. He taught himself by watching YouTube videos.
Yeah.
He whistles a TV theme. You guess what it is on Collective Noun's Facebook.
Yeah.
And then if you win, you get first suggestion.
Yeah.
Of next week's theme.
That's it.
I noticed I didn't say you get to pick.
No.
Because it, like Dom does withhold some rights to discretion.
I do. Because it's about making sure the segment's fun for everybody. And there was one particular one I will say. Someone suggested the goodbye song from Bear in the Big Blue House. And that was tempting because that was one of my favorites growing up. But I just
didn't know. Not technically a theme though, is it?
It's not a theme, and I also didn't know if it would be widely known enough. Because this is the thing about What's He Whistling. Yeah. To make it a fun game for everybody, it has to be songs in the common lexicon. If it's not, then you're going to have a lot of people who don't get to play along. And I'm really committed to making this game open to everybody. So,
and it's always important. I always think that the words rules and fun should be in the same sentence together. So I'm glad to hear that we're adding more rules to this fun game.
You certainly have felt that way when we've talked about board games in the past. Someone doesn't like Dom making himself the banker in Monopoly. Okay.
Yeah, because you cheat. Cheating isn't fun. Well, it's only fun for you.
Here come the rules again. All right, here we go.
I'm just talking about the actual rules that they print on the box.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I've not played an honest game of Monopoly in my life. I've got a dodgy history there, and if they ever do, you know, they sometimes will like investigate people for tax fraud. If anyone, if an investigative department ever comes through and looks at my Monopoly history, I'm in trouble.
We did that sketch.
Oh, we did?
Remember?
That's right, I do remember,
The Royal Commission into Monopoly bankers?
That's right. I do remember that exactly. Well,
I believe you're in it. Which goes to show the attention to detail of the subject matter.
No,
of
I
your
remember
performances,
it now.
You really got into character there.
I remember it now. Okay,
all right, let's go.
It was a great one as well. It was a great one. Here we go. Here's What's He Whistling today. Another TV theme.
Hello.
should be all you need, I reckon. And can I just add in as well?
That's a solid one. I've been, pretty classic.
Yeah, I've been really flattered because I'm starting to get more and more compliments coming through of people saying something along the lines of, I was skeptical at first, but you're actually whistling really well.
And I haven't seen any of those.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but no, there's, there's been a couple. I mean, if you look through the messages, there's been a number of people.
No, you have been whistling well. They have been recognizable.
Yeah.
I think most of them, besides the Doctor Who, I've got myself. And so they were legible enough for someone to bop along with.
I certainly...
And pick up what it is.
I did think there were more Doctor Who fans out there than there clearly are. So...
And that was a low point.
Yeah, that was a low point.
You said to me, and you... a number of times you said, no, we won't need a hint. This is a classic.
Yeah, but this one, I think we should be fine. So if you think you know what that is, message Collecting Nouns Facebook page. Tell me what TV theme you'd like in the next episode, and I will get those lips wet. Oh, that feels... I'm really sorry. I didn't mean for that to sound as uncomfortable as it sounded. I don't want that to be the catchphrase of this segment, if that's at all possible. I did
for quite a wholesome whistling of TV themes. There does seem to be a lot of accidental innuendo.
There's no innuendo. You just have to have wet lips to whistle. That's what I'm saying. If your lips aren't moist,
but
you
I said
whistle.
It's accidental. It's accidental innuendo.
Okay. So, anyway, that's how you play the game. Send your guesses in.
That's all. We'll be back in a couple of days. Stay safe. Bye.